And thank you guys for getting up bright and early. I know it was pretty loud outside my hotel room last night. Go Giants. So thank you. Not till Thursday, I think, is when they're going to sleep. As Tara said, my name is Jean Alonji, and my co-authors and I are delighted to talk to you, to share this presentation with you about mapping to inform organizational effectiveness. And I want to recognize my co-authors, Roberto Garces and Sam Alonji, who are both with Third Sector Strategies. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'm not getting rich off this presentation unless we send around a basket afterwards. So there's a Japanese proverb that says, vision without action is a daydream, and action without vision is a nightmare. And I think as we go through planning and thinking about how our organizations can be most effective, oftentimes it feels like a nightmare. Can I ask, since we have a small group here, if you could let me know how many of you work in public sector, public health, state, local, federal level? And how many altogether, out of everybody, has gone through a reorganization in the last 2 years in your organization? About half. Sometimes I ask that question and it's everybody in the audience. There is a lot of pushing now for more effectiveness in organizations. And it's not just that we're asking folks to do more with less. We're asking folks just to plain do more, period. And to do with less, period. This is a graph that's a little bit difficult to read. I apologize for the coloring. That shows state expenditures and also state employment figures in the last couple of years. And you can see a sharp decline. This is true, of course, in every sector, not just in governmental public health, but in business sectors, in non-health sectors. We just have fewer resources to try to do the work in front of us. That, of course, doesn't mean that the public health challenges are changing. We still have the same burden of morbidity and mortality that we're trying to address with those resources. There's also, right now, I'm sure many of you are aware, the effort to support public health accreditation at the state and local level. It's voluntary, but most likely, funding will be tied to this in the future from federal sources. It's an expectation that we can do more as a practice community to ensure that our constituents are getting the right public health services from their public sector agencies. So this is a picture of a park on the other side of the San Francisco Bay in Pleasanton. And I really love this visual of the road in front of you and where you are planning to go. Public health practice in the last 75 years has changed from something that was primarily built around what our instincts tell us is the right thing to do. Resulted in a lot of brochure campaigns, awareness campaigns, trying to help people make healthy choices and protect them from public health threats. We know now that much of that doesn't work, and there is an emphasis on evidence-based public health practice, making sure we find an intervention that is going to affect the change that we want to in the public's health. But when we look at organizational change and organizational effectiveness, I think we still are often trying to go with our guts and think about what we think might work, and it seems like I'm often working with Jane down the hall, so maybe we should really be in the same unit so that we can work together. But we don't rely on organizational effectiveness, literature, and evidence as much as I think we could to help us make these changes in our organization and look at effectiveness. So I want to talk to you today about some ways that we use visualization to understand a complex system and how we might use that to visualize what we're trying to do in an organization. I was working on another project doing a literature review on the relationship between structure and effective functioning in chronic disease units in state health departments in particular, and found that there's not much literature out there, particularly around public sector functioning for population health. So as we move forward in this work for ourselves, I think we've got to take responsibility for trying to ground it in the best science that we can take and apply, but also report out what we're doing and try to share it with our peers so that we can build that science base. So part of what I want to apply here is our known as human beings desire to see things as we're trying to figure them out. This is a map of San Francisco. If it were big enough for you to figure out what the streets were, you'd be able to show where we are on that map. You'd be able to identify where you want to go to dinner and how you might get there, what streets that you would follow. And you can tell what information you can extrapolate from here, how it's relevant to where you are. This is another way of looking at the same geographic location. You can see Market Street heading up, but it's a little bit difficult to use this map here to move yourself through San Francisco. This is a map of the watershed. So this is a map that would be used for a completely different purpose than moving yourself through, even though it's looking at the same location. And then this is yet a third way of looking at where we are visually in San Francisco. So when we think about how we use mass transit and we construct a map in our minds, it doesn't look like the physical geography map. We like to think in straight lines, we like to think in clear angles and see how things relate to each other. So size and relative distance here are not something you could reliably get from this map, but it's very effective for figuring out how to move through public transit. So what I want you to think about then, having just looked at those three maps of San Francisco, is they are all showing you San Francisco, but what you can do with those maps is very different, and the time that you would use them is very different. So this is a rock found in that same park that we were just in a couple of slides ago. And it is a visual description of time. You can see the stratifications in the rock. This is immutable. It's not going to change. And I think sometimes when we look at trying to understand our organizations, it feels much the same way. This is another kind of visualization that we're using more and more in looking at how health departments work. This is a social networking map, and it shows you the person in the center is connected to these different information sources. It shows you strengths of relationships. You can use this kind of analysis to figure out who's collaborating, what might be strong pathways in moving through a particular task, and where holdups might be. So this is a traditional org chart. I know we're all familiar with this. And this is a blinded org chart from a health department that my colleagues and I worked with that we have smoothed out the edges of a little bit so that we can talk about it in a more broad way. But it's pretty typical. You've got your program director. You have your science and epi capacity in this program. You have the health promotion group that is following very closely the evidence about the interventions that they're trying to put into place and the changes, the public health goals that they are trying to achieve. And the local assistance group in this particular program are the folks who are providing technical assistance to their community-based partners about how to do this. So pretty typical. But if we look at this org chart a little bit differently, and if we think about this in the context of accreditation, so my co-authors and I wanted to sort of walk through planning for accreditation and how we worked with this unit on what are they doing that supports the accreditation process. I'm just going to talk about one measure today because you're not going to spend 3 days with me on it. But looking at the domain of informing and sharing public health information, particularly to multiple audiences, so not just our professional audiences, but also our lay and community-based audiences, about risk communication. We looked at it in four aspects. We looked at it in developing the communication, operationalizing the communication, disseminating it, and then evaluating the activity. So you can see the parts of this particular unit that were involved typically in developing risk communications. Someone from research and evaluation, someone from local assistance had a particular interest and was involved in this, and then the health promotion team lead was also a communications expert in this unit, so participated in this activity. When we looked at operationalization, the folks that had knowledge of the audience and knowledge of how to craft a message for this audience were not in the EPI and science unit, but in the other two units. So you can see who's participating here. And then for dissemination, again, the same, relying heavily on local technical assistance group here because they had access to the populations that they were going to. Oops, and the evaluation slide isn't there. So then figuring out who is involved in evaluation. So looking at who participates in the task, where the experts are in the unit, instead of just the human resources view of here is how we have organized the unit and where we think work will flow, but looking deeper into your organization to see who is participating in each of these tasks can help you align without necessarily reorganizing. So when you think of a system and its moving parts, I think sometimes we rely on moving the boxes, and we don't need to move the boxes necessarily to improve effectiveness. We can change relationships and change how the parts interact with each other. So in looking at the evaluation piece again, instead of looking at where the expertise is, who's participating in the activity, this is a schematic that looked at where how tasks flowed in the organization. So as the evaluation started, and I apologize, I should have waited to do the arrows so we could talk through as I did them, but the health promotion unit was particularly interested in the evaluation, particularly finding out if the fidelity of translating the intervention that they had selected with their local partners. So they were advising the local technical assistance team. The local technical assistance team knew what the providers at the community level were working on and shared that information back. And then there was, it actually wasn't the research and evaluation director, it was someone in their unit who participated in the analysis assistance. So this shows you the flow of the activity, which I think is also an important way to look at effectiveness in the organization, not just where the expertise sits. So we talked to one of the managers in this health department was very interested in what he called straightening the pipes of the flow. So things get blocked up because they sit on somebody's desk for a long time, because a request sits here, or because an approval is needed, and that approval process takes you out through another part of the organization that is difficult to manage. This kind of mapping, where you are showing the flow of the task on top of the structure, helps you identify where those activities can be improved. This is a view from Marin County, looking out over the ocean. And I think this is, you know, this is the vision of, it's wonderful, we can see what we want to accomplish, here's where we want to be. But if we use that map of San Francisco to get here, we can get here. I encourage you to think critically about not just using the same tools in the same way that we have before, but thinking about what it is you want to know from about the process that you're trying to improve, and what are the visual tools you can use to get there and how to manipulate them. I think this is an area where we can be innovative. And that's it. Thank you.